Please turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We're going to camp out on verse 31 for the next few Sundays, Lord willing. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. For the next few Sundays, we're going to be looking at being an Acts 9:31 church. Acts 9:31 church. Let's pray. Lord, you are certainly greater and stronger than any other. Lord, many times we become focused on something else than upon you. Maybe our circumstances or whatever it may be, and yet you're greater and stronger than anything. Lord, I pray as Cooper Baptist Church that we can be an Acts 9:31 church, one that is shining your light to the world. Lord, there are certain things we got to do. Even though you're greater and stronger, we got to do some things. Lord, help us. Give us power. Lord, give us the want to, Lord, to be a witness. And may it be for your glory. Please speak through me. I'm nothing without you. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. This morning we're looking at the church, the churches in all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace. Isn't that wonderful? All the churches had peace. So a church that has peace, what does it involve and what does it mean for the churches or a church to have peace? I was looking in the archives of the Leesville Leader, and as I was looking at some things, I came across an article about a firefighter in Beauregard Parish that was setting fires on purpose so that they could go out and put the fires out. Now, whether he was guilty or not, if it's in the Leesville Leader, it's true, right? I don't know. On Channel 5, it's all true too, right? Okay. All right. Regardless, isn't that some kind of story? If it is true that a firefighter, it happens on more than one occasion. Now, most firefighters are great, great people, and we're proud to have them. Amen? Our volunteer firefighters and all that. But isn't it something that a firefighter, all dressed up to fight a fire, then go out and set the fire? Isn't that something? Now, just think a minute with me. Here we all are, all dressed up. You know, we got our Sunday morning face on, Sunday morning clothes on, and we're all dressed up, and yet we might be like a firefighter. Instead of putting out fires, we start fires. Think about that. Instead of putting out fires, you're a fire starter. And that can go along with a church at peace. A church that had peace. A church cannot have peace when we're all dressed up and start the fires. And we're supposed to be the ones who put the fire out. So, this peace, here in Acts 9:31, this peace is not the absence of problems, though. You think, you know, being at peace, there's no problems, everything's okay, and there is absolutely nothing bad happening. Now, wait a minute. Have you ever read the book of Acts? What all was going on in the book of Acts? There was some major problems and persecution happening to the church. But it seems like we're bombarded with a false message of prosperity. That if you're okay and you do the right things, God's going to bless you and you won't have any problems. That's phooey. Everyone has problems. Yes, God is with us, and who can be against us as we sing? But the church had problems, and yet they had peace. We need to let go of the prosperity gospel, because if it can't be preached in a mud hut in Africa, it shouldn't be preached in America either. Okay? But a church that has peace is not the absence of problems. But do not doubt God's love when all hell breaks loose in your life. Don't doubt God's love. Be at peace. Also, when a church that has peace, also it means not the absence of problems, but it means rest in the Lord. Some translations, the 16th tradition of the King James, the one before this one, says they had rest. The churches were at rest. Okay? So it means being at rest. That doesn't mean we all come together and go to sleep. Wake the person up next to you. But it means rest in the Lord. Regardless of what comes, if all hell breaks loose in your life, or the church becomes under severe persecution, it's coming to America. A church under severe persecution can still be at rest and having peace. Here's an example how to rest in the Lord Jesus. It's also in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 12 has this story. The Apostle Peter. I love this story. What had happened, Herod had killed the Apostle James by sword. He had him killed. And the Apostle James had been martyred. And Herod saw how it pleased the people. So he has the Apostle Peter arrested. And Peter is in prison, chained up. And you know what Peter was doing? He couldn't have Peter put to death because it was the time of the Passover and couldn't do nothing at that time. But the next day, you see, Peter was going to be put to death. You know what Peter was doing? He was asleep. Asleep. Would you be asleep under those circumstances? I wouldn't be. Matter of fact, when the angel, the church was praying for his release, and the angel came and took the chains off and all that, and had to wake Peter up. Then he says, "Get your cloak, Peter. It's cold outside. Come on." And they walk out. I mean, it's a great story, but that's an example of being at rest when all hell has broken loose, at rest. So a church, this being at peace, this peace is not the absence of problems. It is rest in the Lord, and we have the example of the Apostle Peter of being at rest. Now, this peace, a church that has peace, peace, you see, means being in a right relationship. I looked up the definition of peace. By the way, we're fixing to get to the fear of the Lord next couple of Sundays. That's another message. But this peace that we're talking about is in the definition of peace. If you look it up, if you Google it or look up a dictionary of peace, there's a paragraph of it. But each statement that's talking about peace means being in a right relationship, whether it's nations or groups or individuals. Being in a right relationship is the definition of peace. So, a church at peace, first of all, being in a right relationship, number one, it means a right relationship with one another. Having a right relationship with one another. Now, it's amazing. When you read the book of Acts, you know what had just happened before this verse? The main persecutor of the church was saved. He was saved. The main persecutor, Saul, breathing threats and wanting to put more Christians in jail, he was spoken to by the Lord on the road to Damascus. And he accepted Christ. The main persecutor was saved. Now let me tell you this. Being in a right relationship with one another means being kind to one another, affectionate to one another. And this is not rehearsed in any way, but If you would do me the honor, the Miss Cindy Gillespie's class, Miss Hazel, Miss Catherine, you ladies that are present with us this morning, would you please stand just for a second? Would you stand, the members of that class? Remain standing just for a second. Will the deacons of this church stand up? They got families, okay? The ministers, would you stand up, all the ministers we got? Brother Gerald, stand up, please, sir. Okay. Now, if you're a member of this, just look around at these people. Now, if you're a member of this church, stand up just for a second. Do me, I know we've been standing up and sitting down. Look around. There may be some boogers among us, but look around. You may be seated. When you speak evil of Cooper Baptist Church, you're speaking evil of them. That's who you're talking about. And when you speak evil of the church, you're speaking of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The main persecutor of the church was a very religious man, and he was saved. The church had peace. Peace. Don't you want peace? Come on now, that's who you're talking about. People like that. You got something wrong with those type of people, you got a problem. You got the problem. A right relationship with one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says this. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. James chapter 3, verse 18 says this. This is speaking of wisdom from above. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Do all that you can. Being in a right relationship with one another. Now this peace also, being in a right relationship, also, you know who else you need to be in a right relationship with? Within. With one another and within. You know, many times, I'm not a psychiatrist or nothing. I got a little old degree in counseling, blah, blah, blah. But I found this to be true as a pastor. Many times, people who are not at peace with others, it's because they're not at peace here. They can't even be satisfied with Jesus himself. They'll find fault in him. Okay? So it's finding peace within. Having peace. Being in a right relationship within. Now, here's a passage of scripture here. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Speaking of having peace within. It says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to tell us about things we need to think about and think on. But prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Peace within. A right relationship within. When you're talking to God and have a relationship with Him, you're in a right relationship within. Okay? And when we're in a right relationship within, one way of doing that is the more we do not focus on ourselves, but focus on how we can help somebody else. Loving God, loving one another, and focus on how we can be a witness and focus on how we can maybe make a day brighter for somebody else. You know what happens? We become less self-centered, because when you're self-centered, you don't have peace within. Because it's more and more and more. But when you start focusing on helping somebody else, serving the Lord and serving Him through His church and being a witness, you'll be in a right relationship within. That brings us to the third point this morning. Being in a right relationship with others within, and of course it's with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, church. Being in a right relationship with the Lord. Now this right relationship with the Lord is with somebody that, you know, the story of the disciples in the boat, and there's a major storm, and Jesus rises up and he says, peace, be still. Just like the early church, they had peace, and yet all sorts of things was happening. This same Lord can say, peace, be still, and we can rest in the Lord no matter what's going on. This same Lord Jesus that after he had been betrayed and nailed to a cross for our sins, and he was buried and the disciples forsook him, when he entered in while they were in the upper room, he didn't say, why did y'all forsake me? Who do you think you are? How come you didn't do this or do that? Jesus, when he entered in for the first time to the disciples, he said, peace. peace to them. Being in a right relationship with the Lord, He can say, peace, be still. Another passage of Scripture is Colossians chapter 1 that speaks of this peace, being in a right relationship with the Lord. And it says this, Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. And by Him, speaking of Christ, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Folks, that's peace. It doesn't matter how many humanistic symbols you put on your t-shirts or jewelry and all that. The peace that mankind is seeking for is through the shed blood of the cross of Calvary. That's the only place to get it. And that's peace. And it's through the cross, through His grace and mercy. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, and it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Justified. Justified means being set right. Being right with God. What is peace? Being in a right relationship. So peace, justified by faith, we're in a right relationship with God. There's no other way. No other way. And listen to this. John chapter 16, verse 33 says this. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have what? Oh, wait a minute. I thought if you do everything just right, everything's going to fall in place. No, it says in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Peace. Being in a right relationship with Jesus. The church, the churches throughout this region in the book of Acts, they had peace. They were in a right relationship. Are you in a right relationship with one another? Are you? Have you been a fire starter instead of firefighter? Huh? Are you in a right relationship within? That's only through Jesus Christ. Are you tired of playing around? Searching for peace and not having it? I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to be at peace. To be at peace. To be at rest. I don't know what you need to do. Maybe you need to talk to somebody, call somebody, or something. Maybe you need to just get right with the Lord again. Maybe you need to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. You've been trying to find peace in all the wrong ways. I'll be here to help you. Let's pray. Lord, peace is such a misunderstood word. Sometimes we think it's just a feeling, but it's not. Lord, it's our heart's desire to be at peace with each other and with ourselves and with You. Lord, our response to your message is action and faith. Lord, help us to tend to eternity right now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.